Hi, my name is Steve Elzinga, and I'm your professor for this enterprise class. And maybe you're taking this class because, well, you might be interested in ministry. You're already in enterprise. You already have your own company, let's say, and you're interested in ministry and doing more ministry, and so you're wondering about the whole balance of these two. Or maybe you're really interested in ministry, but you're starting to take your classes, and right now, there's no one that's hiring you. It's not always easy to find a ministry job that will pay. And in later videos, we'll be talking about how you might try to get a part-time job in ministry, or you might even do there might be the possibility of a full-time job, or maybe you have to start volunteering. Anyway, a later video we'll be talking about how you can get a job in ministry. But to begin with, it's not easy, and you may have to volunteer, and yet you still have to take care of your family and to pay your bills. And so we want to talk about enterprise and how you might do better at the job that you have, or you might even start your own business. But in order to master any kind of enterprise at all, you first have to master your own personal finances. In some ways, all of us own our own business. And the business that you own is your personal finances. There's money coming in, there's money going out. There's budgets, there's getting ahead, there's getting behind, there's banks, there's passwords, all these, everything that a business might do, you have to do with your own personal finances. So what I want to talk about first is 12 of the biggest mistakes that people make with money. And maybe you're reasonably good with money, but I've made these mistakes, maybe you do too. So the number one mistake that people make with money is spending more than you make. Philippians 3, 18 through 20. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. How do they do that? Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mindset is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Their God is their stomach. You know, sometimes I don't have breakfast, and then I get busy, and I skip lunch, and I'm somewhere at work, or I'm at the church, or I'm here at Christian Leaders Institute, and then I'm driving home, and I go past all the fast food places. And, you know, I'm trying to lose weight, I'm trying to eat right, this is the only body that I'll ever have, God gave it to me as a gift, I'm a steward of it. And yet, as I'm driving past those places, my steering wheel just goes right off the off-ramp and finds itself right in the parking lot of one of these fast food places. And before I know it, I've ordered a chocolate shake that I don't need and all these things. Why? Because my need is so great. And I've let the need get so great. And the need overpowers what my mind wants to do. And that's what people do with their finances. They see the things that they want, and we live in a world, a very consumer world. Everything is available to you. And today things are often made cheaply, and so you can buy this or you can buy that. This past weekend was a big sale, the biggest sale day in the United States in the year. It's Black Friday and then Cyber Monday, and people shop everywhere. I resisted. I didn't go. I didn't go to any store. But then last night I went to the store and I just felt the need to buy something. Everyone's buying stuff. Everyone's getting a good deal. And so I went in and I bought these little things that I don't need. I bring them home and it's like I got a package of socks and I already have a drawer full of socks. But these were really cool socks. So I bought these socks. I didn't need it. Well, people do way more than socks. People buy cars they can't afford. People buy homes they can't afford. People buy clothes they can't afford. People spend more money sometimes than they make. Well, how do they do that? Well, they go into debt. Number two, monthly payments. We live in a world of monthly payments. Sometimes I ask someone, well, how much did you pay for your car? Well, I pay $140 a month. Well, how many months? Well, I don't know. Well, how much is the total of the car? I don't know. It's $140 a month. You realize that when you buy a car at $140 a month and the payments last 7 years, you're paying like whatever the cost of the car. If the car was $10,000, you're paying $15,000 in the end. But this is how salesmen work. If you're going to buy an iPhone, it's $700. $700. I'm not paying $700 just for a phone. Oh, but it's $28 a month. Oh, $28. Let's see. I can afford $28. That's how salesmen get you to think. It's just a monthly payment. And fine, you can pay $28 for your cell phone, but now you're paying $28 for your cell phone every month. You're paying $150 for your car. If you, in the United States, we have all these TV options. You're paying $50 for your cable. Then you have your internet at $40. And then on it, and then you have your house payment at $800, and you start adding it all up. You're paying a lot every single month. And then your car breaks down and you need a new car, and you're still paying payments on the old car, and you're paying payments now on the new car. Monthly payments. Things like cable, I don't even bother. I hate monthly payments. I don't want what I'm buying to be broken down into monthly payments. If I'm going to buy that iPhone, I'm going to pay cash. I'm going to pay 100% of it down. And if I can't afford to pay the whole thing, that's what keeps me from buying it. Number three, paying interest for things that don't appreciate. Now, what is appreciation? Appreciation is when something goes up. So the first house I bought in Canada was $114,000. 8 years later, I sold it for $240,000. So it appreciated, it more than doubled. Now when I buy a car for $10,000, 5 years later, I sell it for $3,000. It doesn't go up in value, it goes down in value. Spend your money on things that appreciate, things that go up. Well, what things go up? Well, in our world today, houses go up. So you buy a house, and then even though it's older, it often goes up in value. Sometimes a business, when you invest in something like a business, it goes up. You invest in the stock market or the markets in one way or another. Even if you put money in the bank, you get the money, the interest that the bank gives you. Those are things that go up. Try to maximize putting your money into things that go up rather than things that go down. So rent. You pay rent for a house, it just goes out the door. It doesn't go up in value. Yeah, maybe the house goes up in value, but it doesn't come back to you. So try to buy your own house, at least here in the United States. Buying a house is a good investment. But you have to have the down payment. So you have to save enough money to get the down payment to get to the house. But try to invest in things that go up. Number four, credit card traps. Credit card is very convenient. I remember the days before the credit card. You were somewhere. I remember trying to rent a car, and they wanted $500 down to rent the car. I didn't have a credit card. Didn't know what one was. So it's very convenient. You have a credit card. You can rent things. You can buy things online. I have a credit card where I get miles for using my credit card. But there's a few downsides to the credit card. The number one downside to the credit card is that you can buy whatever you want. You're at the store, and you have $20 in your wallet, but you have a credit card that can be anything. You have a $5,000 limit. You see something, and all of a sudden you want that thing, and it looks like it might be a good deal. And if you don't buy it now, maybe it'll be gone. There's that widescreen TV that you want, and it's $100 less than it was before. You can make a decision right now to buy it because of that credit card. And so people make more emotional purchases because of the credit card. If you had to pay cash, you probably wouldn't buy it. And that's one of the techniques to saving money is to pay cash. You buy a $700 widescreen TV, and if you had to go to the store with $20 bills, you'd have a wad of bills this high to hand to the person. Well, when you hand over that much money to someone, you go, hold it. Is this worth what I'm buying? But the credit card is so small. You know, $700 or $5, it doesn't make any difference. It's the same credit card. Not only that, but often when you spend with a credit card, you end up spending more money than you have, and then they start charging you interest. They want you to spend more money than you have. Now you have to pay interest. And the interest rates are very high. At the bank, you make 1%. The credit card makes 10% off of you. And then if you miss a payment, it goes up to 20% or 30%. So the thing that you bought originally for $100 ends up costing you $300 in the end. Number five, car payments. People buy cars on car payments. When I was 16, I started saving for my first car. I was driving my parents' car. At 16, I started saving for my first car. My goal was to buy a car and to pay for it with cash. So I saved for 2 years. After 2 years, I bought a Volkswagen Bug, and I paid cash. And immediately, when I bought that Volkswagen Bug, I started making payments to myself for my next car that I bought 7 years later. So what do most people do? Most people, what they do is they see the car, they want the car, they don't have enough money to buy the car, so they buy the car, and then they make payments. And as they're making payments, they're paying interest to the bank or to wherever they bought the car. So what am I doing? I saved, bought my first car with cash, and then immediately for the next 7 years, I'm making payments for my next car. Not to the bank, but to myself. So instead of paying the interest, I'm making the interest. And because I got started that way with my first car, I've been doing this the rest of my life. The only difference between myself and someone else who's buying a car is we're both making the same payments. I'm just making the payments ahead of time, and he's making the payments after the fact. We're making the same payments. He's paying interest to the bank. I'm making interest from the bank. But we're making the exact same payments. And the only difference between us is I got started with the first one right. I saved until I had enough money to get that first one. And then the rest, I'm making the interest the rest of my life. I've done that. I'm 61 now, and I've done that ever since. I make my payments for my next car next. Before I buy it. Number six, most common mistakes, codependent relationships built on money. Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells the story of a son who runs off with his dad's money, and he blows it, he squanders it, and he's spending his on wild living, and he has all these friends having a great time, and then he runs out of money, and all of a sudden he finds himself all alone feeding the pigs. What happened? Well, you ran out of money. There are people in your life that are connected to you by money. They could be your own kids. The connection is money and what you give them or don't give them. It could be your parents. It could be your spouse. The connection is money. My father was in some ways that way. He would buy things for us. He would buy toys and things that we could play with. But he sort of held it over our heads that now we owe him. Or he was trying to, in some ways, earn our love through all this giving. And that's a trap that we can fall into. And all of a sudden our money and the money that we make gets tied up with our connections to people. I don't want people to love me because of money. And I don't want to love people because of money. We need to separate relationship from money. Number 7, hooked on shopping. Proverbs 30, verse 15. The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. And that's what shopping is. There are people that spend their whole lives trying to figure out how they can sell something to you. How can we sell to you? How can we get you to buy? All the advertising, all the marketing, all of it is centered on trying to grab hold of you. And it's like a game. It's a game that you get caught into. I like sports. And once I'm in a sport, you know, if you're playing soccer or what many in the world call football, you kick the ball and the ball goes that way, I chase it. I got to chase the ball. I could be dead tired. But you kick the ball towards me, I'm going to get all my energy to go. And that's what shopping is. Shopping somehow meets this sort of seeking and finding need that most human beings have. Men like to go out hunting or fishing. And it's this thing of looking for something, striving for something, and then maybe getting it. And sometimes it's hard. And the harder it is, the more of a challenge it is, the better. And that's what shopping is like. Shopping is this, you know, you're on a hunt. You're on a treasure hunt. You're trying to find something. And people get hooked up into this game. And it's very compelling. And you end up spending, again, more than you have. You end up buying things because it's a good deal. People will say, after they bought something, I saved $100 on this. Yeah, the thing cost $600. Normally it was $7. I got it for $600. I saved $100. No, you spent $600. If you didn't buy it at all, you could have saved $600, not $100. Hooked on shopping. Number 7. Reward spending. What is reward spending? Reward spending is like when you're dieting. You're on a diet. You forego things. You eat very small portions. No chocolate shakes. No dessert. You put all those things away, and you've been doing it for a week. So after a week, you finally decide to reward yourself. I'm going to splurge, and I'm going to have the triple chocolate sundae with the nuts and the whipped cream and the cherry on top. I'm going to reward myself for the good behavior of sticking with something. And people will do that with money. Vacations. They go on a vacation. Usually they save money like crazy. But, hey, we're on vacation, so let's just splurge. Let's just spend. And so all of a sudden they're spending money like they never do. And they end up blowing all kinds of money for a moment. One example that I have, you know, when you go to a restaurant. When I go to a restaurant, I never order the drinks. A lot of times the drinks are just as expensive as a meal. You know, one Coke is $3 and my meal is $3.50. Why don't I just forget the Coke, have the meal, drink some water, have a Coke when I get home? But I'm rewarding myself, and so I sort of, you know, fool myself into thinking I'm not spending that much money. Number 9, debt motivation. Romans 13, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Debt motivation. I'm not a very good chess player. I don't know what the moves are. I don't know what the offense is. You know, I just start moving the pieces in the beginning. And what I do is I just wait until I get into trouble. I wait until the person traps me into something, and now I have to get out of trouble. And now all of a sudden I know what to do. I have a game plan because I'm in trouble. I'm defensive. And I think that's what a lot of people do with their money. They don't have an offensive game. They don't have a plan. They don't have a strategy. They don't have a budget. So what they do is they just spend money. Oh, I got money. I guess I'll spend it. And then all of a sudden, the red flag starts shining and the bank says, hey, you owe money, and the credit card comes. And now, all of a sudden, now I've got to pay attention. People get motivated by their debt, those monthly bills. I have to pay for my car. I have to pay for this, and I have to pay my cable, and I just bought a new phone. And so all of a sudden, the bank is managing my money for me. I don't have to even think about it. I'm going to let my debts manage my money. But see, then you can never go forward. You're stuck having your debts manage you. And your debts are why you're going to work. Hey, I got to work this weekend because I have these debts. I just talked to a guy in my church. He's got to go truck for the next month because he has debts. He's got his mortgage payments coming up. He has his taxes coming up. And so all of a sudden he's got to work. His life revolves around what he owes instead of a goal of getting ahead. Number 10. Living paycheck to paycheck. Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Even ants, for goodness sakes, know how to plan and think ahead. But often as human beings, we don't. We don't plan ahead. We just let things go. The guy I was telling you about, this trucking guy, all of a sudden his taxes are coming up due next week. So he came home, spent a little time with his family, but he's got to head right out. He's got to go. He's got to go out and he won't be home for a whole month. He wants to be home with his family, but he's got to do that. Why? Because the taxes are coming up. He's being driven by the immediate need. He doesn't have money in the bank to take care of this. He doesn't have any emergency fund. He's got to go out and do it now. He's living paycheck to paycheck. All those monthly bills. And then an emergency happens. You know, the refrigerator goes out. Something goes out. The car dies and he doesn't have any money to take care of that. So all of a sudden, everyone's scrambling. And then you put things on your credit card and now you're paying 30% interest. Paycheck to paycheck. Number 11, negative money habits autopilot. A lot of people do things by habit. They go to work every day. They don't take a lunch. What do you got to do at lunchtime? You got to go out to eat. You got to spend twice as much money. That's my habit. That's what I do. Some people have a coffee habit here in the United States. People like Starbucks. Starbucks is paying triple for the coffee that would cost, you know, a lot less. But that's my habit. I go here at 10 o'clock, I drive past this place, and I get this. I get the triple mocha thing with the peppermint thing and a little straw and a few sprinkles. That's what I do every Monday. If I miss that, my life wouldn't be good. Doesn't matter how much it costs. We get into these negative habits. People go to the store. Young families go to the store. They bring their kids. They go to a general store, and the kids clamor and yell and scream, and they have a fit until mom buys something for them. And that's the habit. Why do they cry? Because we bought something the last 10 times. We're stuck in this habit. You look at your life and see how much money just goes out the door because of certain habits that you have. Autopilot. You don't even think about it. Last one. Do not appreciate the real cost of everything. Luke 14:28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? The real cost of everything. I was really blessed with a father who taught me this from a young age. The real cost of everything. My first church was in the country. And it was a 20-mile drive to the city and 20 miles back. Sometimes we would drive to the city, go have McDonald's, and then come back. And I remember telling my father that. And he looked at me and said, now, do you know what the real cost of that is? 20 miles there and 20 miles back, that's 40 miles. At 50 cents a mile, that's $20. So you spent $20 to get there and back to have a $10 meal at McDonald's. He said, you could better off next time you're in town, buy the best steak that you can find and then cook it up at home and you'll save money. The real cost. By the way, to drive anywhere does cost 50 or 60 cents a mile. Even with an old car, I didn't believe it, so I just kept track of everything, and that's what it costs. So when you go 40 miles to something and then 40 miles back, whatever it is, that's $40. That's the real. And not only is it $40, but if you took that same $40 and you invested that $40, that $40 becomes $1,000 30 years later. So what's the real cost of things? It's not just the money that you put out. It's the money that you could have made if you didn't spend the money in the first place. Okay, we'll talk more about these things in our next video.